Part 2. Dixie. My main ambition when my wife went into labor was to be sober. When our first child was born, I'd been rushing to finish a book. I'd suspected, rightly, that it would be impossible to reconcile book production with new fatherhood. To finish the manuscript before the baby arrived, I'd taken to drinking several cups of coffee after dinner and working right through the night. I'd quit around 4 in the morning. Then knock myself out with cheap wine. When Tabitha's water broke, I'd just thrown back a third glass of unsentimental Chardonnay. I'd wound up driving her to the hospital at 5 miles per hour, and then, somewhat dramatically, passing out on her delivery room bed. I'd woken up just in time to witness the birth of my first child, Quinn Tallulah Lewis, but had made, I fear, a poor impression. For the past 2 years and 11 months, I have been on the wrong end of a story called How My Husband Was Loaded When My Baby Was Born. I promised myself I'd do better this time. It was my last chance. I remember that it was a Monday evening, just before cocktail hour, when Tabitha said she felt funny. An hour later, we were in triage. An hour after that, we were walking up and down the hospital halls to accelerate her labor to the point where it generated the respect of the women who doled out delivery rooms. I knew this hospital from hazy experience. I recalled dimly the secret kitchen stocked with grape juice and the crushed ice and the strawberry popsicles. I remembered vaguely how to finagle a private recovery room. I was the college graduate who had partied his way through school and was now returning on alumni day, hoping his classmates had forgotten what he'd been like. The one thing I knew for sure was that when they asked you if you wanted to get back in your car and endure labor in the intimacy of your own home, or take the hospital room now, you took the hospital room now. Having done this, I settled into the chair beside Tabitha's bed and watched nurses string 9 separate tubes and wires from her body to various machines. Narcotics drip, penicillin drip, thermometers, blood pressure gauges, gas masks to deliver pure oxygen, heart monitors for baby and mother, and God knows what else. And then, nothing. For the next 10 hours, we sat around with expectant looks, like extras in a World War II movie battle scene, waiting for the Japanese finally to come charging through the jungle.